Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of our services last Sunday. We would also like to invite you to join us live and in person at our church at 101 North Oak. That's the church with the clock and the steeple. Our church services start at 10:30 in the sanctuary. Sunday school starts at 9:30 in our fellowship hall, and you'd certainly be welcome. Again, thank you for listening.
Well, let's stand together and call ourselves to this time of worship. Welcome to worship this day.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
Some have come seeking. Some have come struggling.
Lord, you and Jesus want us today. Feed our hearts and souls with your transforming love.
God is truly with you all today, guiding, lifting, feeding, restoring your souls.
Praise be to God, who continually abides with us.
Let's sing this hymn of praise. This is one of my wife's favorite hymns and mine too. Please join me on the prayer of the day. In the darkness of night and the brightness of day, you, O Lord, are present to us. As we wrestle with situations which seem to drain us of our energy, as we struggle to find out who you call us to be, you reach out to us with reassurance of empowerment and courage for the days ahead. Calm our spirits and prepare our hearts and lives to receive your awesome grace. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Holly Beery leads our children's time.
Good morning, friends. How are you guys this morning?
Good.
Good morning. Okay, let's pretend something. Okay, let's pretend you guys did not have any breakfast this morning and you're really hungry. Okay? Did you have breakfast? Okay, pretend you didn't. Okay. You had breakfast too? Okay, pretend you didn't and you're starving. Okay? I brought us some food to share. Okay? Do you think this is gonna be enough food for all of us?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
I could give you like a tiny little crumb. This isn't going to be enough for us?
No.
Well, that is exactly what Jesus' disciples also thought in a story we're going to talk about today. So, our story comes from the book of Matthew. There was a huge crowd that had gathered to hear Jesus. A crowd of like 5,000 people. That's more people than that are in our town. Did you know that? That's a lot of people, right? So they had gathered and they had listened to Jesus. And they were really hungry. But there was no food around. And the disciples looked, and all they had were 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Do you think that's going to feed all those people?
No.
That's also what the disciples thought. They did not think that they would have enough food to feed the people. But Jesus didn't panic. Instead, he told the disciples to bring the food to him. He blessed the food. He broke it apart and he started passing it out to all the people. And an amazing thing happened. The food just kept multiplying. Everyone ate until they were full. And then they came around and picked up the leftovers, and there were 12 full baskets of leftover food. Everyone had ate and were satisfied, right? This story teaches us an important lesson. When we think we don't have enough, we can bring what we have to God. Whether it's a little bit of our food or our time or our talents, God can take what we offer and use it to do really big things in the world. So, can you guys remember that this week?
Yeah.
That we need to give whatever we have to God and let Him work through us.
Yeah.
Okay? Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for loving and providing for us. Help us to share what we have with others and trust that with you, even a little bit of what we offer can do amazing things. In your name we pray. Amen.
Brandon Embry and his guitar bring us special music entitled Gratitude.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. All that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for King, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for you, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So come on my soul, oh don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. You got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your soul. You've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up there and praise the Lord. Hey. Praise the Lord. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Cindy Medlin reads our morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Matheny's sermon, Sharing Bread.
The first lesson comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 32, verses 22 through 31. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and Jacob's thigh was put out of the joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Tell me, I pray, your name." But he said, Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his thigh. The second lesson comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 through 5. "Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Hearken diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in fatness. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call nations that you know not, and nations that know you not shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you."
Thank you, Brandon. I enjoyed that. Today is Communion Sunday, and we always share bread and wine. And I was thinking about the different kinds of bread that have been used in the communion in the churches that I have served over the years. I remember when I was a kid in the Methodist church, they used soda crackers. They just, break them up, and people would eat these soda crackers. And it's a form of bread, I guess, if you think about it. Later, people would have a whole loaf, and they would divide the loaf up, and they could pass it around because the congregations weren't that large. And that was before. That was before COVID. That's when you could still do it. That was my favorite form of sharing. And then, of course, we have bread that has been cubed for us. And out at Salem, they use the little packets where the bread and the wine are together in one little cup. The ones you can't get open, you've seen those, haven't you? So it's interesting how it's done in different places. And I remember one kind of humorous thing that happened to me. I was at a church for the first time, and it was communion, and they had all the elements covered with a beautiful white cloth. And so when it came time for communion, I went and removed the white cloth. And I realized that the bread was still in the wrapper from the grocery store. So that takes a little extra time to prepare the bread for communion, but that's something that I always remember. Jenny's already shared with the kids the story that we're looking at this morning, which is the story of the feeding of the 5,000, as it's talked about in the scriptures. And I just want to read it real quickly in your hearing. It says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go on to the villages and buy themselves some food." But Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said, We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. "Bring them to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. When they all ate and were satisfied, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This story is probably one of the best known of all of the miracles that Jesus did. It's the only miracle that's written down and preserved in all 4 of the Gospels. You can read it in all 4 of the Gospels because it was such an important miracle in the life of Jesus. I don't know if you noticed when I read this, it said in the verse 13, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by a boat privately to a solitary place. Well, what happened? Well, it's in the verses before that. It says, at that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus, and he said to his attendants, "This is John the Baptist. He's risen from the dead. This is why miraculous powers at work at him." Well, Herod had already arrested John and bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For John had been saying to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people because they considered him a prophet. On Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for them and pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist." The king was distressed because of this, but because of his oath and his dinner guests, he ordered that her request be granted and had John beheaded in the prison. His head was brought in on a platter and given to the girl who carried it to her mother. John's disciples came, took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. What a terrible thing to have happened to someone that was so special in the life of Jesus, the one who proclaimed him as he came forth, the one who baptized him in the River Jordan, the one who was a great prophet of God, comes to this point in his life when evil overtook him and his life was taken. Well, it says that when Jesus heard that, he went away from the crowds to be in a private place with his disciples. And you can't blame him for what had happened. He loved John and respected him, and now this has happened. Well, as it happens often in the life of Jesus, the crowds that are there, they don't let him be at peace. They don't let him be somewhere by himself. It says that the crowds, he went across on the boat, but they walked around because the Sea of Galilee is only 8 miles across in its widest point. And lo and behold, when he lands on the shore, here is this huge crowd of people. And then I love what it says here. It says, when Jesus landed and saw this large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. This is one of the places in the New Testament talks about the compassion of Jesus. The dictionary says, for the word compassion, it's a deep awareness of another person's suffering paired with a strong, active desire to help and relieve this anxiety and stress and trouble. And we see in other places, like in earlier chapter of Matthew, where it says Jesus saw the crowds and he had compassion on them as people who were like sheep without a shepherd. His heart and love went out to this crowd of people and the people that he saw and all the places where he went. And so we're told that as he sees them, he's going to feed them. And before that, it tells us that he said a prayer for the bread and the fish. And the Jewish prayer for blessing is, blessed are you, Jehovah, our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth. And so they began to distribute the bread to all the people. Over the years, I'm aware that there are people who try to explain away this story as not being miraculous. They say, well, no, what happened was the people saw this, you know, the little bread, the few fish, and they had a lunch with them. And so they just all shared their lunches. So 5,000 people all shared their lunches. If you believe that, I have some land for you in Manhattan at a very low price. No, our wonderful Savior, with God's great creative power and ability, multiplied this bread to feed these very hungry, needy people. And what they didn't know, and what we know, is that it just wasn't bread that he was giving them. Jesus is the bread of life. Not only can he give bread, but he can give you new life, an abundant life that is more than you could ever dream. And he's the one who said, if you eat this bread, you will never be hungry again. What a wonderful promise that is, that as we come, as we accept his love and his forgiveness and his presence in our life, our spiritual hunger and thirst is it taken care of forever. And so he had great compassion on these crowds. And not only did he have compassion for the crowds, he has compassion for you and for me. When we come to our wonderful Savior, we know that we are going to be welcomed, and that whatever it is that we're struggling with, and whatever kind of problems we have, whatever kind of difficulties we have, we know that He is going to understand and He's going to help us. In Hebrews, it talks about the fact that when we come in prayer, He knows our needs even before we express them. And yet as we express them, we find there is a place of love and acceptance, a place of compassion that embraces us in wonderful ways. Jesus always understands us and welcomes us, and for that we are truly thankful. Well, not only does He have compassion for the crowds and compassion for us, He also offers compassion through us. Did you ever think about how does God make Himself known in the world? I mean, how do people know about God? How do they experience God? Well, it's very obvious. God does it through you and through me. That's how the Christian faith works. Each one reach one or more. God works through us to reach others. There's a wonderful little saying that was done by Saint Teresa of Avila years ago. It says, Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which He looks with compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which He walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which He blesses all the world. Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes. You are His body. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. You are the hands with which He looks with compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. What a wonderful reminder of the fact that God is at work through us. I mean, the kind words we say, kind gestures that we extend toward others, the acceptance of others that we extend, all these different ways that we touch the lives of people, these are ways in which God touches people's lives. And I just hope that we are aware of that as we go forth every day, wherever we go. So often, I just see that people are so caught up in themselves that they just aren't aware of people around them, what's happening in other people's lives. That's not helpful to other people. When we start off each day, we need to say a little prayer to God. God, help me today to be able to see what's happening around me, see the people that are around me, to have your eyes to see what is happening, to have your hands to reach out and help in different ways, to express your compassion to everyone that I meet in your name. That's my prayer. I hope it will be your prayer too. Amen. And may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be made acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, you who are strength and redeemer. Amen.